Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can't win. Tiki and Tierney, what's happening? How are you today? We're doing it from our studio, as always, here in New York. The Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. And they can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Tuesday, let's get it cooking. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. On Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. 1-855-212-4227. Obviously, we're going to start Seattle and the Vikings. But I got a question for you.
Yes.
Have we ever seen this many truly quality teams in the NFL? I feel like every game, like the Niners, the Ravens, the Pats are the vulnerable team. They're the defending champions, and they've got Brady and Belichick. The Vikings for spurts last night before it got away from them. Seattle, clearly. I mean, the Packers. Yeah. I feel as if this is developing into a unique season with so many legitimate teams.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the standings
now.
Just to do it. But
you're the Bills are good.
Usually there's one or two. I feel like we have this conversation regularly, yearly, I should say, at this point. Once you get into December, the games really matter for the top teams as you position and try to get a bye week and try to get home field, at least to the playoff. You're angling to win your division so that you can host a home game at the very least. And so you start to piece out who is going to be viable come late December or January as we get into the postseason. Yep. And it always seems like we go, yeah, but there's really only two or so teams that are on that elite tier.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right? There's two teams in the elite tier, and then there's, well, this team and this team and this team and this team. And maybe this team that gets in as a wild card, perhaps they can go on a run. This year, it feels like there isn't necessarily an elite tier. Baltimore's there, but could they be beat? Maybe, because we saw them almost go down to the San Francisco 49ers at home.
Yeah.
It took a game-winning field goal as time was expiring. But it feels like the gap between the elite and the viable teams is relatively minimal, if not non-existent. And so there's all of the teams fit into the top tier right now. And I think that's actually good for the game, because I can't sit here and say I believe this team is winning the Super Bowl this season. Whereas before, we could say that. I know the Patriots are, last year, I know the Patriots are going to find a way to get into the Super Bowl, and they're going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that about
any
team this year.
And we figured the Rams would be there waiting.
Of course,
the Rams
because
were so potent.
They were the number one scoring offense, or at least number two scoring offense in football last year. So, of course.
The only question was, could they get through Mahomes? Can the Pats get past Mahomes?
That's right.
And they almost didn't. I also think part of this is a byproduct of some very bad teams. You know, obviously, Cincinnati's bad. The Giants are bad. Miami's been bad. I know they're playing harder and playing better, but most of the season, they were pretty bad.
Yeah, I like Miami's heart.
I do, too.
They
roll the dice. They're getting creative, faking punts. I mean, they're doing all sorts of wacky stuff. The Redskins are bad. I know they won. I get it. The Jets have been bad for 85% of the season, save for a couple of games where they looked really competent.
Giants
They've
are
been
bad.
Really bad. Giants are really bad. So you've got a lot of teams who are really bad. But, you know, again, I want to try to leave anybody out. Like, and the reason I thought about this is because I didn't really position Seattle as a tier one team.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. I know they've got quality. Listen, Russell Wilson, before this little two-week binge by Lamar, was my MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have profound for him. I've said for years, certainly this year, but for years, plural, I think he's the most underrated player in football. I think he might be the most underrated player in sport. I really do.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
I really do. I mean, it's hard to fathom that in 2019 in the NFL that somebody's underrated, but he is.
You know, it's funny.
Then you watch them play, and you're like, are they really that good? And I don't know that the answer is yes, but then you watch him play the Niners. Well, you got to give it up.
Yep.
You watch him play the Vikings, 24 unanswered points. You got to give it up. They're good.
They are.
They're very good.
And you know what's funny? This has nothing to do with, like, the game and how they won and how he played, as you see, 21-31. 240 yards, two touchdowns. He did have that freak interception, which turned into a pick six. But he was trying to do the right thing. He just did the wrong thing and tipped it to – he actually created the pick six. But Russell Wilson plays great. We know this. He's always – he should be in the MVP conversation.
He is.
Every year. I'm saying he should be in it every year. This year he actually is and one of the front runners. But he was mic'd up last night and – I tell you, man.
When he's getting his guys, when they scored first, I like that.
Yeah, I did
hey,
too.
We'll get it back, D. We'll get it back.
That,
I love
but,
that. Like, you make fun of him now?
I'm not. I'm just
called corny.
He's kind of
corny. Come on,
he is kind of corny.
This guy gets no respect, Russell Wilson.
But it's not. No, I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just. It's like cliche, you know.
But it works.
I know it works.
You know,
which is odd. I think, but it was an opening of a door into the psyche of Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Because think about this. So often we look at quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's like they have this pose on, right? It's just like this, I have this demeanor about me. I'm going to be stoic. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to be, you know, say the right thing all the time. And I think Russell does that when he's in public and when he has to speak on behalf of himself or the team. He gives you the right words, and, and the presentation is pristine. But then you get mic'd up, you know, usually you get like the hardness or the character of where a guy came from. But I know where Russell came from. Russell came from this little school in Richmond, Virginia. I spoke at it. I told you.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good school. It's obviously, you know, it's academically strong.
Is it a private school or public?
I can't remember if it's a private or public school. I want to say it was private.
I thought it was.
I think it was.
Okay.
But as I was listening to him, mic'd up, like encouraging whoever had a big play. Yeah, that a way to make the, you know, it felt corny.
You thought
but
so?
It just sounds cliched, corny. You know what I mean?
Like not, forced?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's 100% authentic.
Yeah.
That's my point. But then it tells me this guy is like, he's not your typical football player.
He is a little
player.
Corny.
He's not, exactly.
Corny.
He's not your typical football player.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers, a little surly?
No.
What's better, corny or surly?
No.
I guess I'll take a little corny.
I want Russell Wilson, because that's like kind of how I am.
No,
you know
hear
I mean?
You. That's why I'm like, you're pretty much dissing yourself. You guys are both nerds.
But like, at some point, as a football player, you can't help it. Like, you're in a locker room. You're with guys who are from all different walks of life, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different. I mean, hell, I play with guys who are in gangs.
You know
what I mean? And
I
so you put on this like facade. You have to.
You got to adapt to the room, man.
You put on the facade to assimilate, and you feel accepted. And, you know, I understand you, even though I'm not from the same background as you. Russell Wilson is not that at all. He is the same corny self, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And the guys love it. But I wish I could. I wish we had the audio of it. I'm not sure they do.
No,
but
I heard it. I know
they would never give us permission to use it. But it was just. It was entertaining.
He's
to
unbelievable.
Me.
Man.
It was entertaining to me listening to him encourage and hype his guys up.
I love it.
I did
I
too.
Wish I had a quarterback. I mean, listen. Maybe
and by
Sam
the way,
Donald, but I wish that my team had a guy like that. What? Russell Wilson embodies everything that you want: the spirit of the game, tenacity, consistency, durability. Positivity.
I hear you.
He's just a great leader.
Now, the reason I bring this up is one, because it was entertaining to me. But two, if you recall, and this was 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a little bit of a narrative.
Yeah, a little friction, a little division.
Yep, between
a little fakeness, they were saying
the
he was.
Defensive side of the football and the offensive side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, different approaches to the game. And there was this, like, under the radar, well, Russell is—he's too, you know, whatever. He's too white.
Yeah,
right.
I got
basically
too good at two shoes.
Too good at two shoes.
Yeah,
but I think what the word was used was he's too white, right? And it was kind of like, man, is there like friction?
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, was there friction between Russ and the rest of this team? Like, do they get him? Like, what's going on with this? But slowly over the last 4 years, those guys have weeded out. They've aged out.
That's right.
They've gone on. And this has become Russell's team. And even if it is corny, it works. And they buy into it. They have now accepted that this is who their leader is, their MVP candidate
is.
It's
like a little bit like Tim Duncan.
That's right.
It's not aloof like Tim, but...
So it's not like he had to evolve, that Russell Wilson had to evolve. It's this, the rest of the team evolved to him, if that makes any sense. And, I mean, if you want a guy to lead your squad, this is the man.
There's no doubt.
And it doesn't matter if he doesn't fit the typical mold of what a football player or quarterback should be, his success is respected. And so, therefore, his methods and his delivery is also respected.
But I think he does fit the typical mold of quarterbacks. What do you want from quarterbacks? You want intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You want consistency.
Yep.
You want authenticity. You want accountability.
Yes, but think about what we champion. Like Bruce,
what? Because he's not from the hood.
I don't
see anything wrong with Russell.
No quarterback is from the hood. But think
about Jameis Winston is a little bit. Jameis comes from a tough upbring.
Yeah, a little bit.
Lamar does too.
Maybe Lamar does in a while. But they're nouveau in a sense.
Yeah.
But think about what historically we respect at quarterback. It's the Tom Brady guy who is, you know, perfect on the field, perfect in the press conference, mm-hmm. and doesn't throw anybody under the bus. And even though he's currently starting to do that a little bit, but you know what I mean. He's like this perfect image of a quarterback. But then when he gets on the field, he's like yelling and screaming. He's headbutting guys. That's what we see as quarterbacks. And Russell's different.
I see what you're saying.
And I
don't think he curses.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He's a God-fearing man.
And it's not an act. I mean, I know that some people resist that.
Who's a little bit corny.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable.
He's very
collegiate. It makes me feel like I want to root for him, even though
no doubt.
I have zero interest in rooting for the Seahawks.
He's
it makes
very
me want
collegiate.
To root for him.
He's collegiate. Think about how he ends every interview. Go Hawks.
Yeah.
What professional quarterback making gazillions of dollars ends an interview with go Pats go Giants or go Panthers? And speaking of the Panthers, this just broke. Ron Rivera out. Ron Rivera fired today.
Wow.
Ron Rivera just fired by the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, this was a tweet that came directly from the Panthers. So we know that it is verified. They're verified accounts.
Yep.
So we know that this is real. This is in a speculation on our part, even though we have speculated about this for a lot of the season.
Yeah. Given you thought you'd really give the man respect of finishing the season.
Really the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
But we knew with the new ownership down there that there was likely changes given the underachieving feel of it. Now, it's a little bit unfair because of the Cam Newton injury. He goes down at he was hurt all preseason, plays a little bit at the beginning of the year, but he was probably hurt going into the season, and we just didn't give enough of attention to his foot. We were worried about his shoulder, but his foot was the issue.
Yep.
He sits down. Their season is waffling, mainly held buoyed because Christian McCaffrey is having an unbelievable year.
They'd be 2-14 if he wasn't on the team.
That's exactly right.
You could
right.
probably make that case.
You're absolutely right. And this would have been done 6 weeks ago. But a little bit surprising on the timing. I agree with you, BT.
It's a little disrespectful to him.
It is a
Unless
lot.
Something
it's a
happened
lot
behind the scenes that I don't know about. He probably earned the right to finish the season.
The only thing I can think of is that they told him, because let's not forget, the Giants with Coach Fossil went through something similar to this.
Uh-huh.
Like we knew before the season was over that Coach Fossil wasn't going to be there next year.
Yep.
He told us, and Wellington Mara told us, but he finished out the season.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that Ron Rivera was told something similar and said, well, let me out of here.
I elect not to finish.
I elect not to
Possible.
Finish. It could have been on him.
Okay.
I think Coach Fossil had the option. He decided to finish out the season with us.
Okay, so Perry Fuel, we know that name from here. Perry Fuel will take over. Wow.
Yeah, secondary coach down there in Carolina.
That's right. All right, so Carolina Panthers. So Black Monday is not going to be that dark this Monday this year because it seems like everybody who's going to get whacked is kind of getting whacked before it's going to go down.
Yeah, doesn't that seem to tell us that the whole thing is going to be remade over? So
With Carolina. But that doesn't surprise us. We've talked about this on the show going back to the summer with Cam.
That's right.
Lock and Four has been writing, you know, really all fall and even at the end of the summer about, you know, the whole Cam and Ron Rivera. David Tepper came in, no ties to the quarterback, no ties to the head coach, a guy who wants to, you know,
He'll
purchase
be
the
impatient.
Team. Exactly. Yep. He's going to get his fingerprints, pardon me, on the team. So he doesn't seem like he's very long for evaluation. He seems to be somebody who recognizes quickly, here's what I want, here's what I don't, you're in, you're out, we move on.
Yeah, surprised on the timing, not surprised on the issue, the fact that he got fired.
Very correct. Okay, I want to throw this out to you, and, you know, everybody's going to have different answers. We all consume this differently, but one of the first things I said to Tiki, and I want to get calls on this, 1-855-212-4CVS. You know, I feel as if there are more truly quality, viable teams now I don't want to say than there's ever been, because that's encompassing all the history, but certainly than there's been in a long while. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Chiefs' defense starting to turn people over. Would you be shocked if the Chiefs went on a run? No. The Pats are the Pats. You can't rule them out. Obviously, a bunch of teams in the NFC, Seattle's tremendous. Niners, Ravens are phenomenal. The Bills have 9 wins, and they're going to get a couple of more. The Packers are viable. Even with the loss last night, I still think the Vikings are very good, 1 through 53. Is this the most amount of quality teams we've ever had? Curious how you feel. We'll get some calls, 1-855-212-4227. And a coaching domino swings in the wrong direction for Ron Rivera. Interesting. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney, and we're going to use it. We're going to get these calls a little bit, 1-855-212-4227, 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. The great Troy Polamalu, star of the Steelers secondary for all those years. He joins us coming up next. Here's a little excerpt from the statement from David Tepper. They just released this. Here's what he wrote. I believe this is in the best decision, if you just missed it, or if you missed it and you're just tuning in, Ron Rivera fired by the Panthers. No surprise that this happened at the end of the season, but both a little bit to our surprise and a little bit to my chagrin. If he wasn't given an opportunity to at least finish out, I would say that they did him a little dirty in that case. And maybe we'll get the answer eventually.
Yeah, we will get the answer eventually. But, you know, as we read this statement, and he basically says, this isn't the best decision for the long-term success. This is from David Tepper of our team. Great deal of respect, yada, 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 wishing the best. We will immediately...
all the stuff they have to write.
Of course. We will immediately begin the search for the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers. We're going to take a comprehensive and thorough review of our football operations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you know what this says to me, BT?
They want to get a jump start, and they did not give him the chance to stick around. Get out so we could start finding our new guy.
That's exactly right. Yep. So the people that we approach, whether it be a offensive coordinator in the National Football League or a head coach from the college ranks who might be looking to take a jump, Lincoln Riley, Matt Rhule,
that's
whoever,
right. Matt Rhule, Baylor,
whoever it may be.
Yep.
Brian Kelly, we're going to come after you right now.
Yes.
And it's real because there's nobody in the position. If Ron Rivera is still the coach and you're having these conversations, then you can say, well, you guys might go on a run. You might, you know, win 4 in a row and somehow get into the postseason. I think they're still a little bit viable, the Panthers, but not really. You'll go on a run.
And then change your mind.
So this allows them to say,
gives them freedom.
We've moved on, and we are ready. So any conversations that we have with you, they're real.
They're real, and we don't have to lie. You know, there's not to be the shroud of secrecy, like any false pretenses. Well, you know, we don't, now that I actually think about this, if that's their decision and they're going to launch from A to Z, you know, top to bottom, full throttle coaching search, and they're going to do this the right way, and it appears through David Tepper's statement they will, then I would actually say, you know what? You're probably doing the right thing now that I really reconsider this by letting him go now. Listen, the only reason I said he should have probably been given a chance to finish the season, you know, the guy was a pretty, I don't think he's anything much more than a slightly above average coach, in my opinion, in the NFL compared to his peers. But he won 76 games, a lot more than he lost.
That's right.
He got to a Super Bowl, 2-time coach of the year in that division. The Saints have been good for a long time. The Falcons got to a Super Bowl. You know, it's not the easiest division. It's not like the AFC East where there's been one good team for 20 years. There are a couple of good teams in the NFC South.
That's right.
He's going to probably get hired again. I want to see where this takes him. Boy, I'm going young if I'm them. I'm not going retread. I want to see where they go.
Don't you think all teams are headed that way at this point? All teams are going to, I want to young.
The Broncos didn't.
They didn't, and they're kind of regretting it
a little bit.
They're
playing better, though.
They are, because Drew Lock played well last week. Surprisingly, he's cocky as hell.
Yeah, I love it.
But I think they needed that.
That's right.
To an extent. It matches what their defensive identity used to be. I don't know if that defensive identity is still like that, but what their identity was when they won a championship 4 years ago was cocky as hell and confidence that just came through their pores. They lacked it offensively. They have it with Drew Lock a little bit. Maybe they should have tried this experiment a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
because he's on the opposite end of the spectrum as Joe Flacco. But I mean, Vic Fangio is an outlier, I think, as is Bruce Arians down in Tampa. Most teams are going young. I think these college coaches who are on the cusp of at least thinking about it, are going to be the targets for NFL these days.
One of the teams that didn't skew youthfully were your Giants. Mm-hmm. Now, if they make a move, you think they go for that? Because the Giants were always that older, stately, not necessarily a reach, right, but a Coughlin mm-hmm. type, or like a John Fox would fit that image. I don't know why his name's popular.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying.
I
think the Giants could go young this time. You think if they make a move, you think they go really young?
I think they need to. I think they need to, because look at the complaints about the New York Giants. I don't want to go on a tangent because they're not a national team at all. They're 2-8.
The Giants are always a national team.
But you know what I mean.
Unlike the Jets,
they're a 2-8 team right now. Yes, you're right. Because there are Giants fans across the country, even if they're not local here. They've moved there. There's Giants fans in Florida or California, whatever it may be. But just a tidbit on them.
Sure.
You look at their skill position players. Saquon, Sterling Shepard, even though he's been banged up a little bit. Evan Ingram, even though he's been hurt. And even
Slayton's been very good.
Slayton's been good, but he's less of a known commodity. We don't remember him from college.
Mm-hmm.
But even Daniel Jones. Like, what did Daniel Jones do in college? It wasn't just dropping back and throwing the ball 45 times a game.
No.
It was moving out of the pocket. It was, heck, if you got to, go take off and design run for 10 yards or 8 yards because it forces a defense to have an extra defender on you. Saquon, misdirection, lining up as a wide receiver. We haven't seen any of that.
No.
At all. It's static. Run,
it's antiquated.
Run inside zone with Saquon from the shotgun. That is a lesson for failure. I mean, that's never going to ever be successful. And it puts him in a bad position, Saquon, because it's not his game.
Mm-hmm.
He's big and he's stout and he looks like he can run between the tackles for 25 carries a game, but that's not his game. And so to put him in that type of situation with an antiquated offense isn't going to work. It's a recipe for failure.
No doubt.
So if they want to truly take advantage of the skills of their skilled position players,
mm-hmm.
including their quarterback, then they probably will skew towards some of these schemes we see in college.
Okay. All right. Let's get Austin in California. Austin's on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, buddy? How are you today?
Hey, what's up, boys? I'm doing well. Appreciate you letting me in here. To answer your question directly, Tierney, I do believe there's more parity at the top. But mm-hmm. what fascinates me about this season is that there is also a bunch of teams at the bottom that I've really not seen in seasons before. If you take a look at the bottom, you've got Washington, Cincinnati, and Miami. All of three could have been easily 0-16. I don't think we've ever seen that before. You know, we had Detroit, mm-hmm. Miami,
the Browns.
You know, over the past two decades, a couple teams that were bottom feeders. But not only that, we have a bunch of teams who are going to be 2-14 or 3-13. So, yeah, at the top, it's really thick. And I don't know if it's good or bad for the league to have it really top heavy and then also be the
– Well, let me ask you this. What do you like?
It's like there's no middle class.
I was going to say, it's right? kind of like the real world.
Yeah.
What do you like? What's more attractive to you?
Well, you know what? I like both aspects of it because that's what intrigues me about the NFL is every year something can change on a dime, mm-hmm. right? The team that's really impressing me right now, and they're probably closer to the bottom. I could pick probably 8 teams that could win the Super Bowl if I put my objectivity hat on right now. The team that impresses me the most is the Tennessee Titans. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably closer to the bottom of that team of or class of 8. You know, teams that could go win a Super Bowl. But, I mean, that's awesome. They're closer to winning a Super Bowl than a lot of people would probably give them credit for. And that just amazes me. So I just think this season is fantastic. But I just thought it was interesting that we just had so many teams that are god-awful as well.
Yeah.
That's all I got, guys. I'll let you go.
Good call, man.
Appreciate you very much, Austin. Tennessee is interesting, man. And I keep looking at this, and I keep going back and looking at Derrick Henry, who we've talked about for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you throw the ball downfield, like if you have a quarterback that is just going to say, I'm stretching you out. I'm forcing you to play a shell, either 2 or 4. I'm forcing you to play a shell because I will chuck the ball downfield.
Like Tannehill.
I will throw a 50-yard pass, right? I will throw an 18 or 20-yard dig. I will do something downfield.
Mm-hmm.
And so to protect that, you got to play shell. You have to.
That's right.
Derrick Henry will eat you alive.
Every week he does
it. And so we kind of knew this with Mariota, but he was so reluctant to throw incompletions and to take risks.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, we can play a shell, but we don't really need to because we know he's not taking the shot. And Derrick Henry had to work for his yard. It's almost easy for Derrick Henry. He's big. He's strong. He can go 70.
Yeah.
He finishes. He's a good receiver.
He does. He doesn't decelerate at
the
end.
He doesn't at all.
He keeps going.
And so Derrick,
he moves.
So Austin's call about a team that he likes, it's a good one. They've won 3 in a row, the Tennessee Titans. They – I forget who they have left on their schedule, but they
beat the Colts.
Raiders. They have the Raiders.
They got
who
the Raiders coming up this
week.
They're
not playing well.
Yeah.
The Texans, who are as good as they are in the
Texans
AFC, but it's a rivalry game, so we'll see what happens.
Where's that game at?
They have them twice, one at home and then one on the road.
Okay.
And then the Saints in between. So it's not an easy
it's
road.
It's not easy.
It's not an easy road at all.
You better win the Raiders game.
But if
that
they,
one you better
but
win.
But if they get there, they've earned it.
Yeah,
and so,
they have.
So Tennessee's a team to keep an eye on.
To me, there's two teams in the AFC. We'll get the update here from Matt coming up in a sec after that. The great Troy Polamalu joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, I know they're not going to be centrally on everybody's mind, not going to be tip of the tongue. I get that. They're not teams with national imprints. Teams, you know, they don't have a real national fan base. But would you want to play the Bills in 19-degree weather? Would
there? No.
Anywhere.
Yeah. And they're trending towards getting a home game? No.
Nor would you want to play the Titans in 19 or 20 or, you know, somewhat inclement weather. Those are teams that I say travel, but their skill set travels into January. I'm not saying they're going to go on a Super Bowl run, but even the teams below the top tier are peaking and have a lot going for them. So this is a very competitive season, and it's been really fun. All right, Axe Update is right now. Troy Polamalu after that. Ackerman right now. All right, going to get a chance to talk a little shop with the great Troy Polamalu in a minute right here on Tiki and Tierney. First up, though, time for the game plan for success sponsored by Napa. Taking a look at Michigan and the Wolverines and their plan for success. Now, there's a lot of good college basketball games tonight. It's the number one versus number four tonight in Louisville as Michigan takes on the number one rated Cardinals here. Now, Michigan senior point guard Simpson leads the country in assists. He's got right around 9 a game there. He's going to need to continue that tonight. If Michigan has any thoughts of remaining competitive against the stingy Louisville defense, Louisville always plays defense, no matter who's coaching. They only allow 61 points a game. So Michigan went from unranked to top five. That has not happened for 70-ish years. Incredible. He's doing a nice job, Juwan Howard. This would be a lot of fun. Napa believes every driver deserves quality parts. That's why you can do it yourself at a Napa Auto Parts store or have it done for you at a Napa Auto Care Center. Either way, that is Napa know-how. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. This guy had a ton of know-how on how to locate the football and then take it back the other way to the house. I mean, this guy was a highlight package waiting to be unveiled every week. He was a beast on one of the all-time great Steelers. His first year, by the way, on the Hall of Fame ballot, he's already a semifinalist. He's a national semifinalist. He's there. That is Troy Polamalu, and he is Steeler royalty, football royalty, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Troy, how you doing today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing well. It's quite an introduction. I wish it was all true, but
listen, hey,
thank you for having me on your show.
Don't take that humble. That humble approach doesn't work on this show, man. When you deserve that kind of an introduction, you get that kind of an introduction.
Well, thank you.
You got it. Hey. By the way, there's like a half a second delay, so everybody knows what's going on. A little bit of a delay, but it's all good.
Yeah,
go
just
ahead,
be patient a little bit. So, Troy, obviously, it's quite an honor to be a semifinalist. What does this mean to you? I mean, you had a great career with the Steelers, obviously a championship, and an iconic player in a lot of ways. What does this honor or potential honor mean to you?
To be very frank, I've been really indifferent towards receiving any sort of like personal notoriety or awards in that sense. But if it means anything, it truly means that I'm a product of a great environment. Of course, having such great teammates that I've been a part of over the 12 years that I was with the Steelers, I could think of players that are definitely more deserving on teams that I was a part of. But I also was a student of the game in terms of really studying a lot of other contemporary safeties and football players as well to find motivation, to find, you know, coaching tips and whatnot or just ways to get better. And I definitely have a list of other safeties, you know, that could be just as or more deserving than me. And that's just contemporarily speaking. But if you even look back farther, there's a, you know, even a greater list of great football players that haven't received such deserving notoriety as I have, perhaps.
You know, one of the great things about your tenure with Pittsburgh was that it felt like old Pittsburgh. Defense was dominant. You guys were flying all over the football field. And a lot of that is because of your head coach, who is still the head coach, and Mike Tomlin. Describe to us who Mike is. We don't get a lot out of him. He's very stoic with the media, but I know he's got an energy about him. Tell us about him as a coach and what, you know, your knowledge of him reflects on his job that he's doing this year, which is probably one of the hardest ones he's had to do with all the injuries, particularly on offense.
It's a little longer delay. Okay, yes, I think something went wrong there. All right, we'll get a patch back in. You know, obviously it's a little tricky navigating that second. 5 seconds would be a little too tough to do. Yeah, I think we'd have to probably cut that one short.
That's like your international.
Exactly. You know, those are always tricky.
That's true. Even though if you do sign in with like that Comrex thing that I did when I was in Israel, I think we have him back.
We have him back.
Troy, I know you're back now. But we were talking about the job that Mike Tomlin has done. And I was referencing your tenure there because it felt like old school Steelers. Defense was dominant. They played, you know, aggressive. You guys did. And it feels like Mike is getting them back there this year. And given all the injuries, this is probably one of the best jobs that he's done so far, still in the playoff hunt at 7-5.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree for sure. And from Coach Tomlin's perspective, but I also would add that I think it takes great leadership in the locker room to overcome, you know, the amount of talent, the amount of leadership that's not present as it was in previous years as well. I think that, as you kind of said earlier, it's that old school, you know, defense wins championships mentality. And I think that the way that the defense has played this year, it's, you know, really kind of been proven out that, you know, the Steelers organization is really built through the defense and through the locker room as well. And Coach Tomlin has done a great job of letting the players lead through the locker room and finding good leaders that are respected by their teammates, as well as from, you know, the tactical perspective and of really putting people in the best position to win. And, you know, all that we used to say in the locker room previously was, if you just give us a shot at the playoffs. And I think the team currently has done a really great job of putting themselves in, you know, in making a good run in the playoffs. So it's really exciting to see this December football. It's obviously something that's really highly spoken of in the Steeler organization, in the locker rooms and in the meeting rooms, about how important December football is. And you want to be a team on the rise, and I'm sure that this team is going to take that to heart.
We're told to try Paul Malo, the great Steeler, 12 years, 32 picks, 14 forced fumbles, 5 touchdowns. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Just a matter of when, not if. He's already a semifinalist, first year on the ballot. There were some running quarterbacks when you played. Obviously, Michael Vick was in the NFL. You watch Lamar Jackson, and outside of maybe being, you know, maybe a little nervous if this guy's actually coming at you in their space on either side of you, nowhere to hide, how would you attack him? How would you try to stop Lamar Jackson?
Honestly, I think that's the question that everybody in every defensive meeting room, the head coaches, are trying to deal with now.
Yeah.
But one thing that I have learned about in this league is that when you have such a phenomenal talent like Lamar or any of these, you know, previous talents that we've had to deal with in the past, it doesn't take long for the coaches to figure it out. And where you truly become a professional is when you start to really observe yourself and seeing, well, of course, this is the way defense are starting to beat me or to give themselves a better opportunity to win against our team. But how can I evolve as a player so that my weaknesses become strengths and that my strengths, you know, continue to become stronger? And that to me is always a great testament of a real true professional that has, you know, a success that sustains over a period of time. So to me, not only is it interesting to see the amount of success that Lamar has, but it's always nice to see how these young successes develop over time as the league starts to figure out the game and where these athletes are stronger. So to answer your question directly, I have no idea.
I definitely
had great coaches like Dick LeBeau who definitely put, you know, our defense, myself, in positions to do really well against certain offenses or certain players. So it'd be really interesting to ask Coach LeBeau that question, if anybody.
Yeah, no, we'll get him on the show. We'll ask him. I'll probably say the same thing as you. I don't know. Troy, let me ask you this. One of the really unique things about the city of Pittsburgh, it's blue-collar rooted. It's a big city, but it's not too big. What made Pittsburgh so special? What was it like to play for those fans?
It truly is blue-collar rooted. And, you know, what I think what's really unique about the time that I got there in 2003 was definitely a city that was still shifting. And, you know, the amount of impact that UPMC as a great medical facility organization has done, as well as, you know, the new tech that's brought there through Google and Uber and whatnot, the city has really grown. And, in fact, it's grown really differently. Whereas before when I was there, it was only Steelers, nothing other than black and gold. And, I mean, you wouldn't even see a sticker or a decal of any other team outside of anything out of Pittsburgh. And because it's grown opposite the way that it, you know, kind of the population dissipated in the 70s with the crash of the steel industry and whatnot, you know, all these Steelers fans went everywhere. So that's the beauty about being a Steeler is that when you play in New York, Dallas, or any other, you still have these, you know, Steeler fans that grew up in Pittsburgh, had their deep roots. But then the opposite effect kind of happened a little bit too, is that, you know, as the industry started to grow, you have a lot of other people that have come from Green Bay and all these certain places that actually are reconverting to Steeler fans, given the nature of what it means and how much impact that blue-collar mentality still exists within the culture there in Pittsburgh.
That's a really good answer. Troy Polamalu with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Troy, I know you're 38 years old, but I hear you're coming out of retirement, not to get back on the gridiron, but to get back into the head and shoulders campaign with Pat Mahomes. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so first of all, it's been great to work with Pat. He's an amazing person, obviously a very talented football player, and definitely root for him and the Chiefs and having, you know, future success. But the argument still remains between us is that offense wins games, defense wins championships. I think he would say, you know, both win championships. But, you know, being part of great defenses with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would definitely say that we are the heart and soul of that team. And definitely, although Ben did, you know, the offense did bail us out a couple of times, but defense is the true source of championships. So,
you know,
that's our campaign.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a good one, and everyone should follow it because you have a great head of a locks that yeah, we
can,
that
can
we
you
don't.
Spare some. We are the shiniest domes in the business.
You know, Troy,
give us some hair.
Gray streaks in there still.
Troy, we only have like 2 minutes here, but I have to answer this question because you seem like the nicest guy in the world, and I know this because I interviewed you back in 2007. I remember coming down to Pittsburgh and talking to you and your teammates about your relationship with Heather Miller, who was a young girl who had an illness, and you guys adopted her. But there's a gentleness that I didn't know that you had. But you play the game with such it's felt like a viciousness. How do you reconcile the two? Because football is such a violent sport. We know the concussion stuff that started to take over this game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, any good news about me, I always call it fake news. But, to me, it was no different than how I would, you know, view any other part of my life. I'm extremely passionate about a lot of things in my life. And football is played in a certain way. And, I tried my best to play with as much passion as possible and really try to, you know, instill some of that in some of my teammates as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would approach anything else, you know, whether it's ballet or, baseball or basketball or anything other, any differently. I was just very passionate about what I did, and I try to do it to the best of my ability.
Troy, absolutely an honor. And watching you play, it was just pure joy, unbridled passion.
It wasn't for me.
Well, that's true. From my couch, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But
as an opponent, it wasn't nice.
And great having you on the show. Eventually, Hall of Famer. Could be very soon. Nice having you in, man. Thank you very much, Troy.
Thank you guys for your time.
Be well, Troy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gentle soul off the field, wrecking ball on the field.
Yeah. No, he would sacrifice his body, too.
He was good, man. His instincts were off the charts. Right. He was so good. Coming up, this guy is going to tell me why Baylor has a better case than Utah to get to the playoffs. So I want to hear this. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.